Hadi bakalım. Hadi bakalım. Hadi bakalım.
Tim Pool is absolutely losing his mind with joy based on what's going on between Antifa and ICE, because it really means that this time we are actually entering
a civil war.
Welcome back to Human Reaction, everybody. Today we are going to be talking about the cycle, this escalatory spiral of violence that's taking place in America, predominantly kicked off in this particular chapter by the ICE detentions of illegal immigrants and the response by Antifa, and what all of that means for the future of our country and our ability to keep this thing together. I'm joined by David Rand and Bennett. David, how you doing?
Doing pretty good. Now, I really want to think about this carefully, right? Because you don't want to be the guy that, as the meme shows here, a grape drops in the grocery store floor, and you're like, civil war! You know, like, that's funny because he's been predicting a long time, but there's also a thing there. There's something to it. And there's definitely a tit-for-tat moment we're in that could lead there. And as we go through it, I do want to point to some various different analogies. I don't know if Tim Pool has pointed to these. I don't watch him that often. I'll watch him if he has someone interesting I do like on. But it's just not my shtick to watch people who just cover pure news too often. That said, at least when I know I agree with them largely, or they're not saying something to an audience that I care about.
Right.
So the so there's a case to be made, right? And it's reading between the lines. It's if you use your analytic brain to see this, you're not going to see it, right? You're seeing trees. But you got to look at the forest, right? You got to look at your more comprehensive reading between the line, kind of grabbing at strings that aren't spoken because they're scary. And also because it isn't always clear that when someone's doing something, they're doing this for the Civil War, right? Then you're actually in one. If you say, this is for the Union against the Confederates or for the Confederates against the Union, it isn't as clear. But he was on Michael Malice this week talking specifically about how he thinks this is true.
And Tim Pool was.
Yeah, oh. I actually prepared the notes before he was on that. I was like, oh, interesting. This is a perfect time.
This episode is brought to you by Revved Up Promo, the official apparel partner of Human Reaction. Revved Up is a premier full-service shop specializing in laser engraving, screen printing, and embroidery. Not only are they now making all of our apparel right down the road from us, they can do the same for your brand and ship it to you anywhere in the world. Revved Up helps you navigate the extensive universe of merch options and uses state-of-the-art techniques to showcase your brand in its very best light. So if you want to support our show and our generous sponsor, you can now do so by buying our merch and by turning to Revved Up Promo for your own custom apparel needs. Reach them at revveduppromo.com. That's with two V's and two P's, or just check the show notes for a link.
So so the way I think about it in trying to build the case for kind of understanding that we are at least in an escalatory spiral, right? Civil war happens when you have clear factions that are battling each other. And that's like still a Nostradamus-like prediction that could happen in the future. But where we're at now, I think it's becoming increasingly clear that there's a tit-for-tat moment happening. Is it leaning on the left side? Yes.
A lot more tits than tats. More tats than tits, I'd say. The left probably has more tats. The right's got more tits, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
Bennett, what are your thoughts?
Are you counting the trans males?
I was just
the fake tits?
I guess it depends how many gender transitions there have been.
I was talking to this progressive person in a conference, and they were like, wow. After I gave my opinion about something, I can't remember what it was. It was like, wow. I haven't talked to a straight male in a long time. But I was like, I bet in your circles, you probably don't. Yeah, I bet that's true.
Totally checks.
Yeah, yeah. So a couple of the things I'm looking to is that we really see two different spaces kind of working congruently. This might be a helpful mental model. They work recursively for each other, right?
What does that mean?
You have the physical space where people are acting and doing things, right? And you have the media space where people are commentating and like, trying to place meaning on the actions of the physical space.
Okay.
So the physical space is reported on by the media, and then the media interprets it, and then it feeds into the climate of the physical space. And I want to talk about each independently, although they both synergize with each other, and hopefully we can kind of bring these threads together as we go. As always, this is a high wire match, high wire, high beam type experience where we're going to be doing it live on one cut to make it right. So what happened this week that really made me think, man, this is it, is because it's like it's leading in. And you guys already know the story, right? Crooks. That one guy from Ukraine. What's his name?
Thomas Crooks. Ryan Routh.
Ryan Routh. Yeah. Last year. Substantial real political violence, like trying to assassinate a political candidate. You have the kind of low-level ICE violence that happened early in the summer. It was interesting too, and this is the water on the theory. Is it doesn't the cycle doesn't make a lot of sense, right? Because the ICE raids really started in the spring,
mm-hmm.
and there was initial like the remember the Waymo, the automatic cars being lit on fire.
Oh, Waymos, yeah,
Waymo,
yeah. When LA had the protests regarding deportations,
yeah,
people were calling these driverless Ubers, effectively, if you're not familiar with Waymo, to the riots, and then they were lighting them on fire in downtown LA to the point where Waymo, the company, would no longer send Waymos anywhere in LA. They shut it down for a week or whatever, yeah. until the riots died down. But yes, so that was sort of the first sense of the immigration battle starting to happen in Los Angeles.
This is a good question. You want to look this up for me, Bennett? How many people went to prison from those riots?
Good question. Right, my guess is not many.
Yeah, I wonder. I mean, this is an impression I've been trying to fight because that's my impression too. But every time I look it up, look up Portland, look up these other places, when the feds are involved, people do go to prison. That's an interesting part of it.
Interesting.
Yeah. And definitely this is the legacy of 2020 that kind of died down through the Biden years, interestingly. And then I was kicking back up again. The 2020 situation was like the BLM, the Summer of Love, Antifa sitting outside of an ICE facility, the federal buildings, throwing stuff at it, mm-hmm. and basically rioting for 8 months straight.
Yeah. Mostly peaceful.
Well, I imagine some of these protests are peaceful, you know, or have peaceful elements to it. And then there's like violent elements, or sometimes they're all violent. You know, this could run the gambit. I think the right can start becoming, you know, overly pessimistic because of our algorithms, and we only see the worst parts of a lot of these things happening when overall picture probably looks more nuanced.
And I think that plays perfectly into your theory of the media feeding the action in the real world, right? I mean, I look at my algorithm for whatever reason, maybe I watched one too many. Now I see like all these street fighting videos of like mobs of kids, like mm-hmm. kicking the shit out of somebody. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that doesn't paint a very positive picture in my mind for the state of our inner cities. But is that the general case in the entirety of the city of Baltimore or Seattle or Los Angeles or whatever? Mm-hmm. No, certainly not. It's going to be isolated pockets. It's going to be isolated events. But that's been the nature of news for a long, long time, right? The saying forever with mainstream media was, if it bleeds, it leads, right? Mm-hmm. Like murder is always the top story because it's scintillating, it's exciting in a terrible way, and
right.
and you know, it'll get people to watch, or it'll get people to click,
especially when there's a video of it, right? And that kind of shows you the Ukrainian girl Ilina getting killed by that guy, that homeless guy. You know, was that an act of political violence? Well, not overtly. It wasn't to advance a political cause or because her plot politics, because the guy didn't know anything about her, but he did do it because she's white. And so that puts a political element into it, moment.
And
that's
know
in the media
that,
sphere. And that feeds into the real sphere.
And just to clarify, like, we know that because he said that.
Yeah, it's on audio.
Yeah.
According to chat, at least 71 people face criminal charges, arrests. One report says 330 people were taken into custody.
In Los Angeles?
Yeah.
Well, okay, that's a more substantial number than I would have guessed.
But I assume mostly misdemeanor, disorderly conduct, things like that. Like,
well, and the question is, okay, they can be arrested and, you know, booked and they can go to court, but will they actually be sentenced?
Yeah, it doesn't give any information
anything
on actual sentences.
Well, most misdemeanors wind up in jail time and fines. They don't wind up in prison. And that's
under normal circumstances. I mean, we're talking about a sanctuary city here, a very progressive city being Los Angeles, very similar to Portland and Seattle, where if you are the right person, I'll just say that, you won't see the inside of a jail cell at all. They'll just let you go. Mm-hmm. Or maybe it'll be 24 hours and then you're out.
Or a very low fine, stuff like that. Yeah, or someone's paying your fines, which is also a tremendous bad thing. So,
which was something Kamala was talking about during the BLM riots.
Yes, exactly. So the right wing is kind of looking at it with this very cohesive long view, and I think the left is looking at a very narrow view of recent events. But even that tells a specific story. One that is interesting because, as I was saying, we kind of peaked up early in the summer. with the California riots, and then it kind of died down all summer. It wasn't that crazy. We actually predicted on the podcast, and Kyle predicted, that it was going to be kind of like another summer of love, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
That didn't happen. I don't know why. I do have a pet theory that has something to do with disruption of money. You know,
USAID lost their funding
maybe,
all of a sudden.
Maybe like
pallets of bricks stopped appearing places.
We've long wondered out loud to what degree 2020 was the result of a color revolution like investment on NGO money.
Yeah. Soft power projection.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Don't know. Don't have the smoking gun there. Don't have a case, but it's worth looking at. Right. At least contemplating that if the government's capable of the many things that we've seen our government being capable of shockingly terrible actions, such as Operation Northwoods and others, that they might be available or capable of doing that.
Yeah. Well, and obviously that is a point of interest to the administration, who is now investigating the funding of Antifa, pointing to a lot of different individuals and NGOs that are seem to be common players in all of the events that have occurred and all the organizations that pop up that cause violence in the streets and, you know, are interfering with ICE arrests and things of that nature.
Right. And declaring them a domestic terror group, which is a unique designation. I don't really know anyone else who really has that designation other than the extremist categories that the FBI has typically used that has been placed on the right wing forever.
I was going to say, yeah, I mean, it doesn't seem to be terribly novel to me in general, because you had, you know, the Oath Keepers types and, you know, the Proud Boys and stuff very much under scrutiny and surveillance by the Biden administration and DOJ. And now it's just like the shoes on the other foot.
Yes.
Which is very clearly, you know, another one of those instances of a thing where the left puts a policy into place, not thinking about, you know, down the road, around the corner, that very policy could be used against us, too, if a different administration comes in. So here we are.
Right. And this is, you could look at that and tell a story about how Trump is escalating the thing, the escalatory spiral. But also, these are the people who are actually burning down buildings.
Right.
You know, like the Oath Keepers didn't do that, as far as I know. Now, J6, unique event, but it wasn't the same as the Summer of Love and the burning down of DC right after Trump got elected the first time around and various other things that have happened in the meantime. There does just seem to be a just, from a classical liberal point of view, a just role in government to prevent insurrectional like uprisings, whether it be J6 or a organization funded potentially by foreign dollars, according to Representative Luna, connected to China or other foreign actors that might want to disrupt operations in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
So if those are true and those investigations turned out, and they should be thoroughly investigated and based upon evidence, not based upon conjecture or loose evidence or weak evidence or just the will of the ruling elite, it should be based upon regular rule of law and order.
Yeah.
But it continues to spiral. And what happened this week that really brought this to the forefront for me was this article from the New York Post. Lefty maniac threatened to detonate tent filled with 200 explosives outside D.C. church hosting Supreme Court justices. How's that for reading, Bennett? Booyah.
Nailed it.
That guy doesn't count. He can't even read.
You know, and this article is really interesting because, I mean, this guy, he basically got caught before anything could happen. They walked up and talked to him and be like, hey, he basically like, hey, I got a lot of explosives. Stay away from me. And then, like, he went to pee during the negotiations. They caught him when he was peeing, and he didn't actually have, like, a detonator on him. He just had, like, a match, like, that he was going to light. They're all, like, lit explosives, not, like, detonated explosives.
He's just got, like, the Timu pack of M80s in his trunk.
No, I guess they were, like, legit explosives. Like, if fire would have wound up in the tent, it would have been bad.
No shit.
Yeah. Well, that's what the article indicated. The big picture here is that there is just a moment when you track these things before that we all know to the present moment where you're reading between the lines and you can't help but note that this is a spiral that we're at. There isn't a centralized figure like the Weather Underground, like there was in the 70s. Although Antifa might be that, we don't know that yet. This is something that we only know about the Weather Underground from hindsight. But also noting that, you know, the left really won that moment. And this is something I'm actually drawing on Tim Pool and Michael Malice from. I hadn't thought of before. Anyway, the way I thought about it was a little bit different than this, but I think this is the right way to think about it, was that even after that, there was really no lasting consequences. Now, the way they're on the ground was hilariously ineffective, right? They blew themselves up more than they blew anyone else up. But their rhetoric and the ideas about the the deed that kind of shows the rebellion, that is the thing that advances the cause, still persists amongst the radical left. And those people persist. And that's what we're seeing here. And we're seeing at these, you know, these ICE battles.
Right.
Another thing that happened was a woman was shot. There's a lot of contention around this, but her and about 10 other vehicles boxed in with their vehicles, ICE vehicles, trying to leave with people they had taken for, you know, under the accusation that they were illegal immigrants. It's a very strange thing that that's where we're wind up, where these people are, or another case example that was a couple weeks ago, where they prevented them from leaving the building. They tried to block the egress to the building, and therefore violence erupted because it's illegal to use your vehicle or your body to block an ICE officer in fulfillment of their duties.
Yeah.
So this, these conflicts are happening because you have a duly elected authority with that is acting under congressional authority to carry out, you know, code that they are empowered to do. There's good criticisms of the immigration regime. Like I can see those, but we could talk about those, but those are things for courts,
right?
Right. They're not for, you know, outright rebellion of this kind. Cause that's how, where the violence is happening, as far as I can tell.
Right.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm, you know, philosophically, of course it's violent to go and take someone out of their business and move them someplace else. Right. Put them back in their own country, but they broke a law.
Right.
Right. And those laws are passed by a process, and that rule of law is really important to what makes us who we are.
Right. Well, and I think a large part of the problem here, too, with the way that ICE is having to conduct some of these raids and detentions, is that because of the immigration policy of the Biden era, we don't know who these people are, where they are. So it does kind of have to be a bit of a dragnet in a lot of senses. And innocent people, or even quote-unquote law-abiding illegal immigrants, are going to be swept up in this as well, because they don't know who's who, right? Mm-hmm. And they could be anywhere. And I mean, you know, we have the story from Chicago where, you know, ICE agents and DHS agents rappelled from a Black Hawk onto the top of an apartment building, raided the building, and arrested a bunch of Trendaragua terrorists, I guess you could say now.
Cartel members at minimum. Yeah, right.
For sure.
They're a cartel. They're a violent drug cartel that traffics children.
Right.
You know, like, these are not good guys.
Right.
You know, and the accusation is that they're bad guys, right? We need evidence and a process to discover that, but yes.
Right, exactly. And so some innocent people, potentially innocent people, might be swept up in this, but that is then for the courts to decide. I don't know what the process is like. I mean, it is a little opaque, and I think that's a fair criticism of the way that ICE and DHS are going about some of these raids. A lot of these guys, I mean, obviously they're masked. I don't think that's a fair criticism from Antifa, given that Antifa has exclusively practically been masked for the last 8 years or more. But, you know, it's tough to sort of tell, maybe for some people, the difference between, like, is this a kidnapping or is this like an actual legal detention of someone who is potentially here illegally? And it seems like the feedback from at least a significant number of people on the ground, particularly in Chicago, is positive. Mm. You know, these are people who want to live in safe communities, and their communities are not safe.
Yeah.
And they're okay with it. Mm-hmm. You know, as any law-abiding citizen probably would be if they had been up to their eyeballs in God knows what kind of crime happening around their children, around their families, you know, disrupting their businesses. Like, I could see why people would be very supportive of this. And I get what Antifa's trying to do. They're like, you know, they're planting their flag and they're defending, you know, the victimized from the victimizers. They're living out their you know, street battle dreams, their wet dreams of actually getting to confront the man and the fascist machine, and like, totally makes sense. But it's a little bit tone deaf that even people of the communities that they purport to defend are actually supporting these actions.
Yeah. I mean, in immigration, deportations are pretty popular, right, of illegal immigrants, especially criminals, especially when they're connected to a cartel.
Yeah.
So, like, don't get me wrong, you might have criticisms, we might need other kinds of reform, do something about the dreamers, you know, whatever. That's a very different issue than what's happening on the ground when it comes to these. They're getting sensationalized in part because of the video, in part because of police response. And I think some of these peaceful protests have had terrible police responses that were completely out of alignment with, you know, good crowd control and what I'd like to see out of peaceful protests. That said, it's not peaceful when you spit on an officer's face. Right. That's an act of violence.
Right.
It's assault,
right?
Brother.
It is. And yeah. if you're once again blocking egress or degress, that is an illegal act, mm-hmm. and you should be put into a position where you have to defend yourself in court at that point.
Yeah.
You shouldn't be, you know, knocked out. You shouldn't be, you know, whatever. The restraints should be reasonable. All those things, I'm totally fine with those kind of criticisms. But let's not lose the picture here. We have millions of people who came into the country illegally. We have a large deportation regime that is duly empowered by the Congress to enforce this. In fact, Biden enforced this his last year in office. He did hundreds of thousands of deportations, right?
Don't really Trump's hear
gonna,
a lot about that.
Trump's going to be him. You know who has the most deportations that
Obama?
Trump won't even meet Obama. This year? Trump, Obama, 2014. Mm-hmm. Yet I saw none of this physical reaction then. Why? Well, it's the media environment.
Right.
Right. And it's the media environment and the perverse environment around this, right? If you know you're going to get away with it, right, with a DA thing, even worse when it's a judge.
Right.
So, for example, this week, U.S. District Judge Deborah Brodman sentenced Roski, who is the person, the transgender person, who tried to assassinate Brett Kavanaugh, did reduce their sentence, their prison sentence, from 30 years to life to 8 years, 1 month in prison, plus lifetime supervised release, which will probably also get commuted at some point. I mean, come on. Like, that is, you can't try to assassinate one of the members of the Supreme Court. Or this guy, what's he going to get? You know, I mean, like, if we don't have confidence that that's going to be punished, the left certainly will have confidence they won't be punished.
Absolutely. Well, and the other thing that it does is it does embolden people on the other side to kind of take matters into their own hands and say, well, I can't trust the justice system to deal with this appropriately, so I'm going to defend myself, defend my family, my business, my neighborhood, whatever it might be, and probably take actions that they shouldn't take that will contribute to the escalation, mm-hmm. and get played up by the media and all the rest of it. So, like, really, I mean, we're in a very sticky situation here, and it does seem like a bit of a tinderbox.
Well, and to me, one of the biggest differences between these time frames is that the way it's being talked about, the way people have perversely and very crudely played with this whole assassination narrative to, you know, political violence being a legit form of political expression. You know, the both from Luigi Mangione, right, which is a political act.
Yeah.
You know, it was a political statement, mm-hmm. to being like this weirdly sexualized figure.
Yeah.
Like, you could totally see, and other people said this and I'm just repeating it, but I think it's true. You could totally see him getting out of this court process with a minimal service or something like that, or getting found not guilty and then going and starting. He might even be guilty, and in 30 years from now start a podcast.
Not even,
and people would listen to it.
Yeah, it'd be shorter than that for sure.
You know, I mean, like, there's, it's insane.
Yeah.
You know, that the, and then the response to Charlie Kirk and people celebrating because of the perverse social effects of being seen as being the most uber lefty who's going to hold Charlie Kirk to account even though he's dead. You're so brave for criticizing a dead person.
Yeah.
You can't, that creates a specific environment. So that's the media space is feeding into this. And obviously we're all about media misdirection, so I have a lot on that. So here's from a Abigail Spangberger. Spanberger.
Abigail Spanberger.
There we go.
It's not his fault he can't read.
This is one of her statements to a crowd.
Let your rage fuel you. Let your rage fuel you. And it was like a switch flipped. Yeah. Because you know what? Sometimes every bit of energy and the things that you think are wrong, the things that we want to improve, the things we want to make better, the things that we know are right, that we want to see in Richmond, or that we want to see pushed back against in Washington. We have the ability here in Virginia to ensure that we set the stage for what's to come. We set an example for the rest of the country. And so anytime you think you might want to turn off the television, or you think it might just be too much, mm-hmm. let it fuel you. Let your rage,
that's creepy,
fuel you.
That's genuinely creepy.
Yeah. So, okay. So that is, in normal times, political rhetoric, right? In normal times, you say, Don't be discouraged. We can fight this. We can do this. We can take it to the other side. We can win. We have a battle to fight in front of us. We can take out the other guy. Those things aren't usually with the undertone of rage fueling you to commit horrible crime, you know, but that's where we're at. You know, that's like a lack of knowing the time on their side.
Do you think it's a lack of knowing the time, or do you think they very much know the time?
I don't know. Right,
you can think you can assume that it's lack of awareness.
I'm trying to be charitable, right?
That's fine.
I'm trying to be as charitable as I can, because when you speak all the time, you're going to say things that you're not really as understanding of the connotation. Mistakes are made.
Yeah,
right?
but rage was very specifically selected, and rage is different than I know you're angry, and we can make this better.
Yeah.
That's a different way of saying the charitable version of what she was saying, which is effectively the way I'm interpreting it through my lens. To be fair, is get angry and get out there and fuck shit up.
Yeah.
Like, so that's what I hear.
You can, and that's what I mean about not understanding the time, right? Is to the degree to the left is obviously not understanding you, right? You're trying to channel their emotional statement. That's politics. That's what you're always trying to do in politics, is channel emotion and how people are feeling into a political platform for change and progress or conservation of the things that are good. Mm-hmm. The trick is when you have an escalate, if the left is not aware that they're currently in an escalatory spiral with the right on violence, they're going to say stuff like this, and it's going to obviously be misinterpreted by people who are in that way. And I'm not saying the government needs to do anything about this person. I'm not saying we need a censorship regime for the left. None of that crap. I'm not Nick Fuentes, right? I'm only saying that there's a responsibility that everyone has to use our speech to drive us towards civil order. And they're not doing that, right? They're obviously unaware of the time, because as they continue to pressure ICE, you're only giving a bigger platform for bigger crackdowns of the police state.
Right.
You want to see how that really kicks off? Because I don't think the public's that sympathetic to people showing up at ICE places, ICE detainee, you know, arrangements and boxing them in. You know, I just don't think they are.
No. I mean, I think the average person, is not sympathetic to that. I saw another video, a couple of agents were trying to arrest an individual, potential illegal immigrant, and it was like in the middle of traffic for some reason. I don't know why, but like people were driving by honking, and then all these cars started to stop, and people started to like surround this situation and get very immediately involved in this attempted detention. And you know, it was not going well. For whatever reason, these two guys could not get a handle on this guy, and just, I think, because they were just kind of overwhelmed by the amount of people and probably the spectacle and all of it being in the middle of traffic and it not working, they just like gave up and let the guy go. So it's interesting, because that looks and feels like a win for the interventionists, if you will. And I don't know a lot about the situation other than like the video that I saw. But it's just very interesting that people who maybe previously were sort of like keyboard warriors or just like kind of angry at what they see on the news are like actually starting to activate on that side around this issue. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what percentage of the total, like the general public that is, but it seemed like a decent number of people just out of traffic, which you would think is a pretty random sample.
Right.
So I don't know. It's very interesting.
It's hard to say, you know, I can understand the aesthetics of like a foreign agent from Washington, D.C. in your state taking someone out of it. That said, we are a country with laws that are federal laws that they have broken. So federal agents are enforcing that.
Yeah, but when you feel like the government is authoritarian and fascist and all the things that they say it is,
sure,
isn't it your duty to resist that?
Sure, I totally understand that. But that is also the basis of what you change the laws, right? So if this was a right winger, right? If this was right wingers complaining about something that was happening in the government, we'd be like, well, we got to change the laws. Right, that would be the immediate place to go to. You win the next election cycle, right? It wouldn't be take up violent arms. You know why? Because the right wing was prosecuted for 20 years on that basis of some militias someplace in America doing shitty things, you know? And so the crackdowns happen, and there's genetic memory on the right that's like, no, we don't do that.
Yeah,
right. And that was during the Bill Clinton administration. You know, like that was a long time ago. You know, so like I don't think the left ever had a real moment with real consequence for this. And as we've seen, like they're not even paying that big a consequence in some of these cases.
Yeah.
You know, and they didn't pay for the one of their underground stuff. Those guys all went on to become Obama's, you know, lead launcher. What was his name? Bill Ayers?
Yeah. I think you're right.
Or the Claret and Piven people.
And Cass Sunstein, I think, was involved too. I think he was one of those kind of folks. Like, there's a bunch of them.
But yeah, so those folks didn't pay long-term consequences for being terrorists on the left, right? Well, that's because they take care of their own, right? And in a way that, you know, the rights don't do that. But also, like, because in general, if you're in support of law and order and the other side isn't, there's only one win there. There's only one side. That's a tit for tat that only goes one way.
Right.
Right? Either you have authority or you don't.
Yeah.
You know, and if you want to change immigration policy, which I'm with you, there's lots of things I'd like to change about immigration policy that have nothing to do with deportations. Focus on that.
Yeah.
You know, but they're not doing that. They're focusing all their energy on this street violence.
And I wonder how much of that has to do with the potential feeling amongst the left that their political organization, the Democratic Party, is so in tatters right now. Mm. Like, they may not feel like there's a viable path there, and they have to take things into their own hands to some extent because the Republicans have the majorities and, you know, the administration and in large part the Supreme Court, although they've been like fairly balanced on some things, I feel like, as of late. But it doesn't feel like the organization that the left has kind of become known for, that monolith that we've talked about before, mm-hmm. is really has much of any power or purchase on the cultural moment right now. It's just this Antifa organization of disaffected individuals who are now so angry, have been whipped into a frenzy, and now they're out there doing the bidding. Mm-hmm. And I think it'll be very interesting to see what comes of the investigation into the financing of these groups, because just very similarly to the USAID going away and all of a sudden, you know, the summer being very calm, what other money has flowed in to replace that? And what is that going to do to the organizational structure of a lot of the resistance movements on the left? How much of it is astroturfed? How much of it is genuine outrage about the state of immigration policy?
100%. We don't know. We'll have to find out. But in the meantime, we have these insights into how the left is actually thinking about this. And that is what's making the media space what it is. So this is one that we got a glimpse into that. This is with Jay Jones, who's running for attorney general in Virginia, in a private conversation. So I want you to be the blue text and I'll be Jay Jones.
Okay.
In this case.
They say nice things about everyone. Lol.
You got to laugh out loud. And we go, ha, ha, ha.
No, I don't.
If those guys die before me, I will go to their funerals to piss on their graves. Send them out a wash and something.
Why are you making him Batman?
Okay, Batman.
Oh, no, I'll do Batman for real next.
This next one just says Jay Jones.
You can imagine it's like holy cow, dude. Like, yeah, Jay Jones.
It's like calling someone by their middle name.
There's no exclamation there. So
these people, two bullets, Gibbler, Hitler, and Pol Pot. Gibbler gets two bullets to the head. Spoiler. But Gilbert and the crew with the two worst people you know, and he receives both bullets every time.
Jay, please stop.
Okay.
It really bothers me when you talk about hurting people or wishing death on them.
That's just like...
I'm not trying to be a voice actor.
Yeah, okay, here we go. And then you got this one. We're back at the top.
You weren't simply asking questions, and you know it.
I generally was. And I wasn't attacking you. I was trying to understand your logic.
You weren't trying to understand. You were talking about hoping Jennifer Gilbert's hoping Jennifer Gilbert's children would die.
Yes, I've told you this before. Only when people feel pain personally do they move on policy.
And then this seems like a different text. There isn't. I point blank asked you more than three times and you dug in that you meant it. I honestly am questioning a lot today.
I mean, do I think Todd and Jennifer are evil? And that they're breeding little fascists? Yes. Now, this is like, this guy is deranged, man.
Seriously.
This guy's a leader in the Democrat Party in this state.
I hope not for long.
There have been shockingly few denouncements.
Wow.
But this kind of shows the inner thing happening on their side, right? Yeah. And this guy's in a position of authority. He's not seeing, oh my God, one of our people shot Charlie Kirk. We need to turn down the temperature right now, right? I need to question my prince. No, they're not. And that's why this thing is persistent. That's why it's going to escalate.
Yeah.
That's why Tim Pool might be right.
Well, and it begs the question too, like if this is genuinely the attitude on the left, like, what is the appropriate response from the right? How should Jennifer Gilbert and her family take these text messages?
Well, I mean, it's obviously, I don't want to overstate it. He's obviously like telling a joke while also trying to like be real about how he feels.
That doesn't, well, at least the way you read it, it didn't come off as a joke.
But you know what I mean? But that's how people are reading it. And I'm just saying that, you know, but then when he's called out on the joke, he's not like, I'm just joking, man. You know, he didn't do that. He doubled down.
Yeah.
Which kind of shows like that this is the place of clout on the left right now is to be the most violent and be as real about it.
Yeah.
And I don't mean that for everybody. I mean, amongst like this guy's an insight into a phenomena happening. And if someone from the left doesn't step up and start condemning this shit and denouncing this stuff, it's not going
to
stop.
It's going to turn real. Yeah. Yeah. It's going to move from text message threads to actual violence.
Right.
Which it already is, obviously.
Yeah. I mean, but imagine if that guy is attorney general, what is he capable of doing? Yeah.
It's a scary thought.
The Weather Underground people went on to be professors and the launching Obama's career and shit. What did they do? You know, they were agitators in academia. That guy could have been, well, he could still be the Attorney General of Virginia and have a successful political career.
I just don't see
how. If the left doesn't hold him account.
I don't think they, I mean, I can't see how they do, right? I mean, I don't know what kind of stature this guy had in his party prior to this moment. But we've talked about it a lot. The left does not have a deep bench of talent, of charisma, or people that can lead that people will follow. Mm-hmm. Gavin Newsom isn't it. Mm-hmm. You know, at least I don't see it. But so, you know, if they're like feeling that they don't have that kind of depth, that they can just kind of throw this guy to the wolves, it's always the left's MO, like you said, to rally around, protect their own, you know, try to just project whatever they can off onto the other side and say, oh, well, they started it, or whatever their tactics are. Like, that's mm-hmm. that's common. So I wouldn't be surprised if they did the same thing here.
Yeah. No, I know. Yeah, you're right. I don't know what's going to happen there, but it is, we know what we need, right? And we know what we're not getting from the left is the moral clarity of what the fuck is happening. Like, what are they doing and what are the moment we're in?
Right.
You know, the right is currently in a debate on knowing what time it is, right? And you got like R.M. McKinte. On one side, did I say his name right?
Aaron McIntyre.
No, I don't think that's right.
His last name is McIntyre.
Oh,
sure.
I thought it was McKinte. And you know, other figures on the other side that are closer to like where I'm at on the position, which is like our civil institutions are really important, and we need to figure out a way to navigate this that doesn't result in tit for tat street violence. Mm-hmm. And not that even Aaron is wrong, just that there's a gap in the dialogue on the left that they don't even have that other side.
Yeah.
Right. And so like in even this, like I'm trying to imagine why the left thinks this is like a viable idea. Like what is their mental model? And I think this John Oliver message kind of shows that this obviously is humor, but is like, as always in political commentary, there's like meant to be an underlying political thesis here.
And in Rochester last month, I cornered some men working on a roof and were waiting for them to come down to arrest them. But a local pastor went on social media to summon people to protest, and just watch what happened next.
A chaotic scene on Westminster Road Tuesday morning in Rochester as federal agents were carrying out an ICE enforcement and removal operation.
They're here putting on a roof, trying to make a dollar and paying taxes on that dollar. And ICE was here bothering them. So I came to bother ICE.
Details from federal authorities are limited, but our cameras captured a Border Patrol vehicle.
Was it?
Oh, the tires are flat on that Border Patrol vehicle.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Did you notice that?
Yeah, yeah.
At the scene with flat tires. In response to the large crowd, agents left Westminster and the SUV was towed a few blocks away.
Perfect. Well done to everyone involved. And I absolutely love that woman said, I came to bother ICE. Because that seems reasonable to me. If ICE can show up and bother some guys at their roofing job, then bystanders should be able to bother ICE at their state-sanctioned kidnapping job. It is only fair.
State-sanctioned kidnapping.
It is only fair. And that's the thing is, these books, these laws have been on the books for a long time, right? And so that's what open borders is, actually, right? Where it's lawlessness. The open borders that the steel man of that has always been, no, we need to change the laws to make it easier to immigrate here legally,
right,
to de-incentivize immigration. And this is where the left has become so bonkers. They're like, actually, rule of law doesn't mean anything to us anymore. We're not the party of the ACLU that actually wants strong laws that protect people's rights. What we want is actually just nothing. Just no law at all. No generative law, no local law, none of that. We just want this thing where I don't even know. I can't even see the vision here beyond. They just see this as an act of aggression, not as the actual, like, someone who broke a law being held to account for breaking the law.
Right. It's weird because it does seem like they speak out of both sides of their mouth. In some senses, they do want strong laws, right? I mean, one case pertaining to immigration is like birthright citizenship. You know, mm-hmm. that's being battled out in court. And I believe a leftist judge did just decide that unborn immigrant children have the right to be citizens of the United States, which actually, interestingly, I heard an argument that basically said they set precedent for the fact that unborn children have rights, which played right into the pro-life argument's hand. So they're very pleased about that.
Yeah.
Yikes.
We'll see how that works out, you know, but, So it's like, in some cases they want to use the institutions to do their bidding, and then when it doesn't serve them, when it goes against them, it's like, throw the book out the window. I don't care how long the laws have existed. I'm just going to go take this into my own hands.
Right. And it's demonstrative of how they didn't freak out when Obama was doing it even bigger than Trump is doing it now.
For sure.
That they didn't care then and they care now. So this is just fodder. If you're a leftist and you're buying into this bullshit, they just want to use you as a pawn for their political power. They think this is a platform to get the American people to vote blue. That's all they care about. They don't care about anything else. Some lefties have a political philosophy they're pursuing. But these people, John Oliver, and these folks that are generating up this interest now who weren't doing it during Obama, you shouldn't listen to them at all, because that is such bad faith. Right? If they're just responding to the media moment, you're just doing it for clout, or you're just doing it for views, you're just doing it for money, or you're just doing it because you don't like Republicans and you want to have power.
Very well said.
Here's another framing. We won't listen to the whole thing, but I thought this was an interesting way to frame up the issue.
My favorite.
Over the weekend, amid the ICE-created melee in Chicago, an immigration agent shot an American woman multiple times following some sort of a traffic incident.
An ICE-created melee. ICE-created incident. Did you hear that?
And then she refers to, and I assume they're referring to the boxing in of the vehicle.
Yes, yes.
And there's some sort of a traffic incident. That's a traffic incident? This isn't a fender bender, Crystal.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there is a lot of good questions about this particular case where it looks like the feds might have claimed that she was carrying a weapon and then that wasn't on the charging documents. And there's a lot of suspicion there about why the firearm was used in this case. But to be clear, to box in a ICE detention motorcade with your vehicles is highly illegal. And to be clear, in private security, if you're moving someone who's very important, someone boxes you in, you assume that you are in a gunfight at that point.
Absolutely.
Because that's what you do to kill someone.
You stop them.
Yeah.
You make them a sitting duck. Then you open
exactly.
Fire.
Yeah, right. So did someone get trigger happy? Did the police make a mistake? Was there something else? I don't know. I don't know what happened. Maybe the police were totally in the wrong. Other than, it's not an ICE-created incident if you box them in with your vehicles. So let's just get that clear real quick.
They're just driving down the highway, and then all of a sudden they're completely surrounded by vehicles and ground to a halt on the interstate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or on any road or whatever. Whatever the situation was, you can't do that. You can't block federal officials in the movement of their duties. If you disagree with the law, work that out in courts. It's worked before. So let me give you an example. So there's one area where I agree with the left on this. And there was the invocation of the aliens, Illegal Aliens Act, Alien Enemies Act of 1798 to remove the TDA members. Now, the accusation was that Trump, this is where we took 261 Tren de Agua cartel members accused and shipped them off to El Salvador directly into a Supermax El Salvadorian prison. Now, my beef with that is the Constitution guarantees a due process to everyone. That's what it says. If you don't like it, change the Constitution, but that's what it says. I don't know how to explain it any other way to conservatives. I'm with you, brother. I want this stuff enforced, but you can't not do due process. All these other illegal alien situations have due process. The one she's talking about is the pursuit of due process. You incarcerate them so they can't get away so that you can then investigate to find out if they're illegal. If they're not illegal, then they get released. If they are illegal, they leave. They go. Now, there has been an example of at least one American citizen who got caught up, didn't have his papers, got incarcerated for a long time, and then ended up getting released. That was really bad and shouldn't happen again. I agree with that. The release, the use of the Alien Enemies Act outside of war makes no sense. It is not the letter of the law. It is illegal and shouldn't be done. Change that. And you did change it. You challenged it in court and the courts won that fight. Do that. This bullshit, you can't start the fight and then get pissed when it doesn't go your way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the left is doing. And they're trying to lie to the American people into creating an impression that's not happening. Which is that this is some illegal activity that they're abducting people off the street when that's not what's happening. What they're doing is enforcing the laws that are on the books. If you don't like it, change the laws. That's what law and order is. That is the precursor to all the other freedoms and liberties we have. We have to have both.
Agreed.
It's insane. So what we were saying is that there is a we need someone to say that. And at least on the right, at least we have people on the right saying it. So I'm only doing this in case any leftist sees this and be like, well, the right, you guys aren't calling for peace. You guys are just escalating everything.
It's not a very charitable impression of a leftist.
Just one second. I'm just going to read it one-on-one off of this text that I got. Okay. Okay.
Who sent you the text?
It's our teacher at our school. I'm just asking on behalf of him.
Fair enough.
Okay. The Democrat running for Attorney General in Virginia said in leaked text that he wished his political opponent as well as his children were dead, and no Democrats condemned those words. Today, a poll came out showing that 1 in 3 leftists say that physical violence is necessary to effect social change. Do you think that the nation can come back from this level of hatred the political left has for conservatives?
We must. Whatever is necessary is always possible. So do I believe it's possible? I do.
Yeah.
But do we have work cut out for us ahead? Absolutely. The normalization of political violence is un-American in this country. It's unacceptable. And I think that one of the things I've noticed is no one on the right is going to manage to convince someone on the left, just as somebody on the left is probably going to have a hard time convincing someone on the right of the same thing although I personally believe the numbers are asymmetric in one direction. So what we're going to need is actually leaders with a spine on the left who we disagree with deeply, to still stand up and say that no matter what you think, words, and this is one of the sins of the woke movement, the idea that words are violence. That's where a lot of this began, right? That intellectual slippage between words, the free debate and challenge in the marketplace of ideas. That idea, you would hear it a few years ago, that words are violence, that I am harmed, that microaggression is equivalent to physical harm to me. That crossed an American boundary into something anti-American. The idea, if you turn words into violence, then I guess somebody could think violence is justified in response. We on the left and right have to be united that words are not violence. Violence is violence, and violence is never, ever, never, ever in the United States of America an acceptable response to words, period.
Yeah, so where's the left version of that? I'm just not seeing it, man. I'm just not seeing it.
There's been some really, you know, soft tweeting going on from, you know, the people you might expect. I think Barack Obama posted something, you know, softly condemning. I mean, this might have been even more in the wake of Charlie Kirk's assassination.
The
deporter-in-chief? Yeah, the deporter-in-chief, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, but you know, just the platitudes about turning down the temperature, right? Yeah. But not actually like really backing that up or reinforcing it.
I mean, I want to see speeches. I want to see condemnations. I want to see finger pointing.
Yeah.
To say that's not okay.
Yeah.
This guy right here is not okay. Yeah. Especially after Jay Adams.
Well, and
like
again,
that stuff.
I think that this is indicative of the state that the Democratic Party is in, mm-hmm. and also indicative of the fact that like there's just not a lot of policy issues right now where they have the upper hand, where they have like the majority of the population on their side. Mm-hmm. You know, so if this is something that's going to stir up emotion that they can channel into a political win, they're going to take it. I think any way they can get it is how it feels.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. You know, but that's a sensible claim based upon the pattern of behavior we're seeing since 2016. It seems repeatable, and it's such a tragedy, right? Because this should be the philosophy of peace, right? These are the people who grew up, who came out of the peacenik movement,
right?
Right, and in the dark side of that, lost out, right? It killed the hippie movement itself and the peacenik movement and all the best things about that. That was pro a peaceful civil society and not having uniformity everywhere and self-expression and the best parts of those things. Those were all killed off by the hippie movements that got violent and terrible, like the Manson stuff to the Weather Underground to other things.
Yeah.
So you can't underweigh how important it is for someone on the left to actually step up and do this in this moment. And they would have a tremendous comparative advantage in this marketplace. But the fear is that they're, I imagine for them, it's just like, well, I'll just look like a Republican. And if we partisanize peace, if we make whether or not political violence is a partisan issue, that is the road to civil war, right? That is so clearly.
For sure.
One side is order, the other side is chaos. It is Spain all over again, right? The Spanish Civil War, for example.
Yeah. Where do you see it going? Is there going to be someone that emerges from the left? If so, who do you think it would be?
I don't know. It's hard to say. I mean, even like AOC, leader on the left, got up in Congress right after Charlie Kirk died and had to do one of those, political violence is bad, but he's the worst human being who ever existed. And if you say political violence is bad, but that but is doing a lot of work, right? And you are...
That's no way to speak about AOC, please.
It is a question of... You are watering down the message the minute you say the but, right? That conjunction really undermines any amount of progress we could have made.
Right.
If you had just said, I'm going to withhold things I want to talk about right now in service of my civil society over my personal interest in maintaining or acquiring power.
I even think there's another way to do it. Just switch them around. And I saw a lot of people on the left say this, which is, I disagreed with Charlie on many, many things very strongly,
yeah.
But political violence is not the answer.
Yeah,
that says it all right there.
Feels a little bit better.
You switch them around, and it's a whole different sentence.
I don't know, man. So, for example, one of the data points that kid pointed to it last time when we were debating at the Charlie Kirk event, that the guy that went over and killed those Democratic legislative members. Mm. Now, whether or not that was politically motivated, there's evidence pointing both directions. You might have just been a crazy guy. It's always hard to tell.
You're talking about the Minnesota rep and her husband?
Yeah. Those circumstances, I have no problem just saying, I don't care what his political points of view was. Never, ever, ever is it okay for anyone to die for what they said.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't care what the Democratic reps voted on. They didn't deserve to die.
For sure.
That is easy for me to see, and I don't see why the left feels the need to say, I didn't like them on everything. That is cuckery, right? I'm afraid someone's going to say I'm a Charlie Kirk fan. Well, then who the hell are you? Yeah. Glenn Greenwald doesn't need to say that, right? When we watch him and when he talks about Charlie Kirk, he just said, it's awful and terrible, and we need to stop this crap.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't say, I didn't disagree with him, all that kind of stuff. He later went on to say what he agreed and disagreed with him on a longer video. But if you're putting it out in a short form, easy. I just can't understand it. And that's where the left just doesn't know what time it is. They don't see this escalation. They're not seeing it. So, and in the meantime, we're going to have a lot of casualties. And one of those casualties, and this is this Trump reposter thing here, and this is based upon a real executive order, although I don't think this is actually what the executive order says. Do you want to read it for me, Joe?
Sure. To ICE, Border Patrol, law enforcement, and all U.S. military, as per my August 25th, 2025 executive order, please be advised that from this point forward, anybody burning the American flag will be subject to 1 year in prison. You will be immediately arrested. Thank you for your attention to this matter.
Yeah. The sacrifice of free speech is on the line. If the left wants free speech, and they told me when Jimmy Kimmel, you know, got fired for a minute there, or got suspended or whatever, that they really cared about it. So if they do, maybe, if you want to burn flags, continue burning them, because that's your right as American. I disagree with the Trump president about this. But tone down, like, the I want to kill them because they're baby Hitlers bit a little bit, maybe.
Well, and also to the media, quit calling everybody you disagree with baby Hitler.
Yeah. But easy. I think we'll get there when the political leadership of the Democrat Party is calling out the media for seeing that shit. You know, that's when we'll get there. The same way that the Republicans call out the media when they step out of line all the time.
Yeah.
You know, that's where it's got to happen. It has to become the self-interest of the actual, you know, principled leftists who actually care about these ideas, who actually give a shit about free expression, to be able to say, look, we're heading down the road to perishion right now. And if we want to challenge immigration, we can't do it this way. We got to do it through peaceful means. We have to do it through the laws and the courts.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyways, that's where we're at. I don't know if we're going to have a civil war. Sorry, I'm not a Tim Pooleyite.
What do the betting markets say?
Ooh.
Have we checked the betting markets on
this? No, I haven't. Kyle's not on the podcast, so of course that never looked up.
Nothing bad can happen. It can only good happen.
I want that played at least three times every episode in perpetuity.
Civil War. U.S. Civil War in 2025. 3%.
What about 2026?
On which?
It's actually down from 4%. Yeah, so
this is interesting. Which,
so low likelihood of most people are voting against for 2025.
Okay, so we're not expecting civil war this year, but there's not necessarily a betting market for 26 yet that you're aware of.
Yeah, I'm not seeing it. Comment is probably not 25, but 26 likely.
I was gonna say 2025 only has like 3 months
left. Okay, well, so this is kind of crazy. So I'm looking this up. Will Trump impose martial law before his term ends? And the odds are down recently, down from just under 40% to 32%. 32% of people think Trump will impose martial law before his term ends.
Wow.
I don't know what the parameters around that are, if it's like national or somewhere in particular. Probably, you know, the National Guard deployments in Chicago is impacting those odds.
Right.
It looks like it spiked up pretty significantly end of May, early June. So anyways, we shall see, and we'll certainly keep our finger on the pulse. But in the meantime, friends, you know, be safe out there and don't do anything stupid. And, you know, if you have a conversation, if you have an opportunity, I would say, to have a conversation with somebody who you disagree with politically in a civil manner, like you did in your debate with the protester outside of the TPUSA event earlier this week, take the opportunity, find common ground, figure out where you can try to individually take the temperature down, because clearly the people that we're entrusting in leadership and media to do that are not doing it.
Mm-hmm. I was really encouraged by that kid. I mean, it was really pleasant at the end, right? At the beginning, I was like, how's he going to react? You know, kind of like one of those little like pre-jitters, you know, talking to a stranger sort of thing. But as soon as you get going, I mean, it was really comfortable and pleasant. And hopefully I moved him a little bit on.
Seemed like you did.
Just on the definition of what fascism is, because it's really funny how he describes it.
Yeah, that was interesting. And we all shook hands at the end, which is the important part.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. All right, friends. Well, thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of Human Reaction. We appreciate you for being here. And if you would like to support the show, a simple like would go a long way. If you're listening on Spotify or anywhere else, a quick review, 5 stars would be awesome. Helps us get the word out some more. Leave us a comment. Do you think we're entering into a civil war? Has it already begun? What do you think is going to be the outcome of all of this stuff? Until next time, for David Rand, for Bennett, I'm Joe Sheehan. See you in the next one. Thanks for tuning in to Human Reaction. Please be sure to like, follow, subscribe, and give us a review on your podcast platform of choice. And if you want to become a member and support the show financially, check out humanreactionpod.com.